Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring, should we mine the deep ocean for battery metals or protect its mysterious life? Discovery Rangers explore the pros and cons of deep sea mining in this educational STEM podcast for our...
Imagine you are in a pitch black expanse, right? And the pressure is so intense it would like easily crush a military submarine.
Oh, totally. And it's freezing.
Exactly. The temperature is hovering just above freezing. And all around you, there are these strange, pale creatures crawling over fields of, well, dense rocks that look kind of like potatoes.
Yeah, potato rocks in the dark.
Right. But here's the wild part. Imagine that those rocks sitting down there in the dark might actually be the absolute key to saving our atmosphere. Or, on the flip side, they could be the start of, like, the largest environmental disaster of our century.
It really is a massive catch-22.
It is. So welcome to the Deep Dive, especially to all the young, curious minds tuning in today. Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today, our mission is to explore a huge, real-world puzzle that is happening right now over the deep ocean floor.
Right, and it's a huge debate.
Yeah, we are looking at this massive dossier of recent Discovery Rangers reports, science papers, all of it. And the question is basically this: should we send giant heavy machines to the absolute bottom of the ocean to collect materials we need for electric cars?
Or do we leave it alone?
Exactly. Do we leave the largest, least understood habitat on Earth completely untouched to protect creatures we barely even know exist?
I mean, it is arguably the most defining environmental dilemma we face today.
Yeah. You know?
And it fundamentally comes down to, well, climate change.
Right, the energy transition.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The world is really trying to fight climate change by building green technology.
Yeah.
So we need to build like millions of wind turbines, massive solar panels, and obviously tons of electric vehicles to stop using fossil fuels.
Okay, but to build those, we need stuff.
Right, we need very specific metals to build a battery. Mm-hmm. So we are caught in this clash. We have two really good goals, right? Getting clean energy to halt climate change versus protecting this pristine giant ecosystem.
And when you say giant, I mean, I was looking at the reports for this deep dive. And wait, is it true that we actually know more about the surface of the moon than we do about our own deep ocean?
Oh, absolutely.
It's wild.
It feels like we are talking about exploring an alien planet, but it's right here on Earth. I mean, the deep ocean covers over 70% of our planet.
Yeah, and it holds 90% of Earth's living space.
90%? And we've explored, what, maybe 5% of it?
Barely. We literally have better maps of Mars than we do of our own ocean floor.
That is just crazy to me. And before we can even figure out whether or not to mine the ocean floor, we really have to understand what actually lives down there in the dark, right?
Right. We have to establish the biological baseline, as scientists call it.
Yeah. So let's look at these alien-like life forms. Because there was this massive discovery recently, right? In March of 2026.
Yes. Out in the Clarion-Clipperton Zone.
The CCZ. Right, the CCZ. It's this huge stretch of ocean between Hawaii and Mexico. And researchers found 24 brand new species of these tiny shrimp-like creatures called amphipods.
Just living in the pitch black.
Yeah. And even wilder, they didn't just find new species. They found a whole new evolutionary branch, a superfamily called Mirabistioidea.
Wait, hold on. A superfamily, does that mean they are like, I don't know, an underwater superhero team?
I love that.
I mean, how different are they from the animals we already know?
Well, in science, finding a new superfamily is a huge deal.
Mm.
It's basically like discovering a group of animals that is as different from other animals as, say, a dog is from a bear.
Oh, wow. Okay, so really different.
Completely different. They evolved in total darkness. So some of them have these highly specialized claws just for eating mud.
Eating mud?
Yeah. Sifting through the mud for nutrients, and others have special claws for hunting in the dark.
That is incredible, but why do they matter? Like, beyond just being cool new animals.
Well, they matter a lot. These amphipods, along with deep sea corals and sea sponges, they do a ton of work. They recycle nutrients.
Okay.
When things from the surface die and sink, they process it.
Huh.
And by doing that, their deep sea home actually stores carbon.
Oh, so they are actually helping fight climate change naturally.
Exactly. They lock carbon into the seafloor. And life down there moves super slowly. Because it's so cold, barely above freezing, some of these deep sea corals live for hundreds, maybe thousands of years.
Wow. So if something happens to them, they don't just grow back next year.
Right. It takes centuries.
Okay, so that brings us to the treasure on the ocean floor. Now that we know about these amazing slow-growing creatures, we need to talk about what they are living on top of.
The rocks.
Yeah, the rocks. Why do humans suddenly want to go thousands of meters underwater? Well, Discovery Rangers, it's because these creatures' homes are built on incredibly valuable materials.
That's the real issue.
The reports mention three main types of mineral deposits down there. There are cobalt-rich crusts on underwater mountains, sulfide deposits, and the really big one, polymetallic nodules.
The polymetallic nodules are the main prize.
Okay, let's unpack these hard science words for our listeners. So, sulfide deposits are found near hydrothermal vents. Are those basically just underwater hot springs?
Yeah, pretty much. They're these fissures where super hot, mineral-rich water shoots out of the earth.
Okay, cool. And what about polymetallic nodules? Since poly means many, and metallic obviously means metal, are these just those potato-sized rocks you mentioned earlier, just sitting in the mud and packed with different metals?
That is exactly right. They're basically just potato rocks.
Potato rocks. I love that.
And in the CCZ, these potato rocks contain manganese, nickel, copper, and cobalt.
Which is exactly what we need.
Right. Those four metals are the exact ingredients the world desperately needs right now. We need them to build batteries for electric vehicles, for wind turbines, and for solar panels.
So it's like a battery sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
Literally. And there are millions of tons of them just resting on top of the mud.
So if we need these potato-sized rocks to build electric cars and, you know, save the planet from fossil fuels, the next logical question is, how on earth do we get them from the bottom of the ocean all the way up to the surface?
Right. That's where the engineering comes in. And it's pretty extreme.
Yeah, the reports call it a giant vacuum.
Basically, yeah. Mining companies want to send these massive machines down to the bottom. They drive along the seafloor and act like giant vacuum cleaners.
Just sucking up the rocks.
Sucking up the rocks and also the top layer of mud. Then they pump everything up a super long tube to a ship waiting on the surface.
Okay, and then what?
The ship separates the valuable rocks from the mud, and then they just dump the extra water and mud right back into the sea.
Hold on. Vacuuming up the ocean floor sounds super destructive. Like, you're literally sucking up the ground. Why are some people arguing that this is actually better for the environment than what we do now?
I know, it sounds totally counterintuitive, but the pro-mining side has a really strong argument when you look at the math.
Okay, walk me through it.
Well, right now, we mine all these metals on land, and mining for copper and nickel on land causes huge problems.
Like what?
You have to cut down massive rainforests. It pollutes local drinking water. It really hurts local communities who live near the mines.
Right, because you have to dig massive holes in the ground.
Exactly. You have to blast through tons of rock just to get a tiny bit of metal. But down in the ocean, the potato rocks are just sitting on the surface. There's no rock to blast, no trees to cut down.
Oh, I see. So it's easier to access in a way.
Right. Some major studies claim that deep sea mining could produce like 70% less carbon dioxide.
Oh, 70%?
Yeah, and practically 100% less solid waste than land mining. Plus, experts project that the demand for these metals will double by 2040.
Because everyone is buying electric cars.
Exactly. So proponents argue we have to get them from the ocean, and it might even create a bunch of new jobs.
Okay, I hear that. If it saves trees on land and cuts down carbon, that sounds good. But, and this is a big but, for every action, there is a reaction, right?
Always.
So while the giant underwater vacuum might save a forest, we have to look at what that vacuum does to the sea spiders, the worms, and those new amphipod species we just met.
Right, the Mirabessie idea.
Yeah. I mean, what happens to them?
That is exactly what the anti-mining side is pointing out. And the facts are pretty grim. A major study came out in December 2025. They actually monitored a test mining site in the CCZ.
And what did they find?
They found that test mining reduced the total number of animals by 37%.
37%, just gone.
Gone. And the variety of different species dropped by 32%.
Wow.
Because when that vacuum removes the top 5 centimeters of mud, it literally destroys their homes. Those potato rocks are the only hard things on the seafloor. Corals and sponges use them to attach to. So if you suck up the rock, the coral has no home.
It's just bare mud left behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the destruction doesn't stop where the machine drives.
Right, because of the mud plumes, right?
Yes, the sediment plumes. When the machine kicks up mud, and when the ship dumps the extra mud back into the water, it creates these giant underwater dust clouds.
And water isn't like air.
No, it's thick and cold, so the dust clouds take forever to settle. They can drift on currents for miles and miles.
And that hurts the animals.
It chokes them. Animals like sponges that just sit there filtering water to eat. they get totally smothered by the mud.
That's awful. And I also read in the dossier about the noise.
Oh, the acoustics, yes.
Because down there, it's usually super quiet, right?
Mostly, yes. And sound travels really fast in water, so sending giant machines and pumps down there makes a deafening loud noise.
And that hurts the whales?
It really hurts whales and dolphins. They rely entirely on sound to talk to each other, find food, and navigate. The loud noise from the machines can really confuse and stress them out.
Okay, so if the risks to the ocean are this high, I mean, 37% of animals disappearing, choking mud clouds, stressing out whales, but we still really, really need batteries for green energy. Aren't there other ways?
Like what?
Like ways to get these metals without digging up the deep sea or destroying rainforests?
Well, yes, there are alternatives.
Yeah.
And experts say we need to focus on them. First, there's recycling.
Oh, like recycling old phones and cars.
Exactly.
Yay.
If we get much better at recycling the batteries we already have, we could reduce our need for new copper and nickel by 40% by the year 2050.
40%? That is a huge chunk.
It is. And the second thing is inventing new stuff. Scientists are actively designing new types of batteries right now that use way less cobalt.
Or maybe even no cobalt at all.
Some of them, yeah. They use other stuff like iron, which is way easier to find and doesn't require deep sea mining.
That sounds like a great solution. Just change the recipe for the battery.
Right. And the final alternative is just using less.
Reducing demand.
Yeah. We don't all necessarily need giant electric cars. If we walk more, use public transit, or share cars, we simply wouldn't need to build as many giant batteries in the first place.
Which means we wouldn't need to mine as many potato rocks.
Exactly.
So, Discovery Rangers, to bring this all together, this is a truly complex debate. Both sides actually have really strong points, you know?
They really do. It's not a simple good guy versus bad guy thing.
Right. On one hand, we absolutely need clean energy metals to stop climate change. It's urgent. On the other hand, the deep sea is this incredible shared treasure. It is full of alien-like surprises we are just barely beginning to understand.
And risks of destroying it are massive.
So there's this really powerful thought experiment from the reports that I want you all to think about. Imagine you're standing in front of a beautiful garden.
Yeah.
And it is full of totally unknown flowers. Nobody has ever seen them before. But you find out there are incredibly valuable seeds buried deep under the roots. If you dig the whole garden up with a bulldozer to find those seeds, you might destroy amazing plants before they even get a name.
Or before we learn what medicines they could make or how they help the earth.
Exactly. So is it worth it?
It's the ultimate question. And there really is no easy answer here. Which is exactly why it is so important for all the young Discovery Rangers listening right now to learn these facts.
Yes, to think critically about it.
Because you guys are going to help make informed choices for our future. We need smart people looking at both sides.
We really do. And that leaves me with one final kind of wild challenge for you to explore on your own today.
Oh, I like challenges.
Listen to this. If you are a brilliant scientist, which many of you are trying to invent the next great electric battery, what wild everyday materials around you would you try to use?
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. What could you use so that we wouldn't have to mine the earth or the ocean at all? Maybe salt from the sea, or maybe something from plants.
That's how real science works. Asking what if.
Exactly. The next big energy breakthrough might be sitting right in your kitchen, so keep thinking outside the box. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It was a blast.
Keep asking big questions, Discovery Rangers, and we will catch you next time.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.